You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN. This is Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Good Wednesday evening, everybody. Larry Hardesty for Chris Carlin. Join me, 1-800-919-3776. Brian the Brain and Jake the Snake with me along the way. Here until 10 o'clock, Pat O'Keefe in for Gordon and I at 10 o'clock on ESPN New York tonight here on 98.7 ESPN. Well, of course, we'll keep you updated on the Mets as they try to find a way to win a game at least. They're trailing 7-5, batting in the bottom of the seventh to the Nats. Of course, they have another game with Marcus Stroman on the hill, scheduled to be on the hill a half hour after this game ends, whenever that will be. So we'll keep you updated. But if you're a Yankee fan right now, and I know you were a little disappointed in losing to Kansas City last night. I know you were. But here's the bottom line. You found a way to win a series. And that's 9 out of your last 10 series you've won. And listen, the Yankees continue to make that strong push for the postseason. And oh, by the way, another COVID case, right? Surprised? Another one. Another COVID case. Clay Holmes, placed on the COVID-19 injured list. Brooks Krisky. You remember him, of 4 wild pitches in 1 inning fame at Fenway Park, is a replacement player. I know you're hoping that you're not going to need him in the Field of Dreams game tomorrow against the White Sox. I know that. But nevertheless, here's the bottom line. Here's what's most important is, very simply, the Yankees continue to find a way to win games. The Yankees continue to find a way, even in a bullpen outing today, they found a way to win. And they're doing what I wish the Mets would do. And they have a chance to do it today. And that is to beat teams who are better than you. That's all I ask. As a fan, that's all I ask. If you're playing an elite team, yes. Do I have a different feeling if you struggle against an elite team or you split a series or you lose the series? Yeah, I do, because that just lets me know where my team is compared to what some of the elite teams in the league. But for the Mets to struggle as they have, that's why everybody's just so concerned. But here's what's interesting to me, and I want to get your thoughts, Yankee fans, at 1-800-919-3776. Anthony Rizzo has lit a fire under Luke Voit. 2-run single in the first inning today. After the first game, and listen, give him some slack. It was his first game back, a little nervous, big situation. He tried to hit a 5-run home run. Didn't do it. But since then, he's done a nice job at the plate. And Luke Voit is letting the Yankees know that he still wants to be a part of this team. And so when I watch this, I hear every coach whom I've ever had the pleasure of covering talk about what makes players better is competition. What makes you decide who makes a team is competition. What makes you decide who you play in a particular game is competition. If there is a doubt and two players are equal in talent and one pushes the other one to be just that much better, it's competition. So Luke Voit is setting notice that, okay, I understand that Anthony Rizzo, left-handed bat, has been very successful since coming over from the Cubs, is right now your flavor of the month. I get that. But hello, don't forget about me. I still can do some things. I still can be a part of this team. I still can find a way to contribute. And so for the Yankees, this is the best of both worlds, right? Because very simply, if he plays well and continues to hit, okay, you can DH him now that Giancarlo Stanton has become a fixture in left field. All right, so you have that DH spot. You have it. It's open now. You can do some things with it if you need to. So you can play Rizzo at first because he's much better defensively than Voit, but you can also keep Voit's bat in the lineup if you need to. Plus, in the offseason, he's playing well enough that you may consider moving him for starter. Or you'll consider keeping him and then you'll keep Anthony Rizzo as a rental, which is that's what we most perceive is going to happen with him. But, you know, listen, it is the Yankees. They can decide that they want to keep him and make some moves. So I'm very curious. I was very interested to see how he was going to respond because it was clear that Anthony Rizzo had taken his job. His lack of availability and his problems hitting before the injury, you know, was a concern. So today, 1-for-4, still a couple of strikeouts, but he had that big hit to get 2 runs in the first inning. And so this Yankee team that was struggling just a few weeks ago is now a game and a half behind Boston. And 1 in the loss column. And these last 10 games have been crazy. Yankees are 7-3, Red Sox 2-8. And oh, by the way, just in case you didn't know, Toronto's right on the heels of the Yankees. Right on their heels. Pete Alonso with an RBI double, 7-6, Washington. And I'll talk about Alonso in a second. And did you see, have you looked at the run differential from Toronto against their opponents? They've scored 124 more runs than their opponents. 124. Which says a lot about their pitching, right? Because the Yankees are ahead of them by a game, tied in the loss column. And the Yankees have a run differential of 16. And what's even funnier is the Red Sox have a run differential of 29, and you would think that the way they were winning and they were playing, they were blowing everybody out. So, not that it's a meaningless stat, but it's a stat that can be misleading. Because if you have a solid bullpen and your starters are at least giving you some length, you can find ways to win. And what the Yankees have been able to do during the streak and really kind of consistently during the year is they've been able to win these one-run games. They've been in a lot of them. And they've been able to find ways to pull out these victories. So give them some credit. The trades have made a difference. And as we've said over and over again, they've made the best out of tough situations, especially with the number of COVID issues that have run through that clubhouse right now. So in about a week or two, you're looking as though it's almost like you're getting a whole new team back. As far as your starters, bullpen folks, everyday players like Rizzo, Urshela, you got another couple weeks before Glaber comes back. Sanchez will be back shortly. So you're going the reinforcements are coming. And fortunately, there was a hole in the schedule for them to be as productive as they've been. But now that could change because you're facing a very, very, very good White Sox team. Very good White Sox team beginning tomorrow night in the Field of Dreams game. 1-800-919-3776. Darwin's in Jersey City. Darwin, start us off on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
You're talking about the Yankees. I'm a diehard Mets fan, but what mm-hmm. I can say about the Yankees is that the beginning of the season, I knew that they were going to, like, burn out and, like, not be a great team, but then they really surprised me after the All-Star break. And I really have to give it out to Boone. I don't think people are giving him credit. But if I could just make a Mets point real quick.
Sure, go ahead.
So, yeah, I think that, you know, every time there's a bad season, you got to get, like, three strikes and you're out to, like, kind of give up on the season. And, you know, Alonso going out there and, like, you know, bringing up the word, you know, commitment and, like, we're passionate, you know, we're giving it all, you know, we're dedicating our lives to it. And once you start bringing out vocabulary like that, I think that's strike one, you know, when you're talking like that, where you have to, like, remind people, like, what you need to do to, like, be a baseball player. And then strike two would be, you know, it's 2021, you got a billionaire owner tweeting wild on Twitter. And, you know, we know how that goes. Now people know that you're accepting to, like, people coming after you on Twitter. So I think it's going to get worse, and he's going to get really attacked. It's the worst the Mets do. So he's going to shut up, and then it's just he might go, you know, blank again. Remember, if you remember a couple months ago or a month ago, he was all Twitter when that whole thing with the GameStop was going on. Mm-hmm. So I think it might happen like that, and, like, either he's going to have to put up or shut up. And I think, you know, I think with all that being said, I think, you know, the Mets season is done here. I don't think they're going to overcome this, especially if the owner doesn't change his ways and stops tweeting, because he's going to get some true hate mail his way. And that's just the way it is, 2021. What does he expect when you comment like that and, you know, the team isn't performing right now? Thank you for taking my call, though.
You're welcome, Darwin. Thanks for the phone call. It's true what you say. I mean, you know, when the team is not performing well, as the owner, people look to you. As the general manager, president, people look to you. As the manager, people look to you. And then people look to the players. All right? But listen, I will say this for Alonso. He's gotten off that hitless streak. He's had a couple of hits today. Had a hit yesterday before the game was suspended. That is continuing today. So he has answered the challenge. He is doing his part. Driven in an RBI today. As I mentioned, the Mets 7-6, batting in the bottom of the seventh with two out, and Alonso on second, so they have a chance. I will say this. I don't think they're done yet. Not yet. Because this division is so competitive and is so close to each other. And really, when you think about it, it has been the Mets who have come back to the division rather than the division has overtaken them. I mean, if the Mets were able to win series in just a couple of these series and not split or lose, they would still be in first place. But you noticed that the former Met, Travis d'Arnaud, is back for Atlanta. That's one of the injuries that they missed. And Travis d'Arnaud has been huge for them since leaving the Mets and Toronto. Huge. And so to get your catcher back, your regular catcher back, with what he brings to the table, that's a shot in the arm for this club as they're playing much better. Marvin is in the Bronx. He joins us next on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Marvin.
Look, I'm not going to pat myself on the back, but did I not tell you weeks ago, don't worry about the Yankees, when you were, like, drilling me about their possibilities, right? I'm going to give you this Marine Corps analogy to how I feel about the Yankees. You know, I'm a former Marine.
I remember.
In the movie Guadalcanal, the Marine Corps was getting beat up in the early parts of the island campaign. And then the reinforcements showed up. And then the colonel stepped up and said, you know, guys, we've been getting up. Now we're going to do the butt kicking. So I'm letting you know, for all those haters out there, beware of the New York Yankees.
Well, say this, Marvin. The way they played, and thanks for the phone call, my friend, you have to say they're one of the hottest teams in baseball right now. They are. And once again, you can say to me, yeah, look who they played. Look, they played Baltimore. They played Miami. They played Kansas City. Yeah, but they won. They did what they're supposed to do. They don't choose who they play. It's not like they said, we're struggling. Listen, let's call up Baltimore and see if they want to get a little game together. That's who's on the schedule. That's who you play. Please be foul. Thank you. That's what you do. And so with all the issues they've had, with injuries, with COVID issues, they're still finding a way to win. Now, I will admit to you, this three-game series with the White Sox is going to be a challenge for them. I mean, this is a White Sox team that is very good. Although, they've come back to earth a little bit. All right? I mean, they've won six of their last 10 games. They've lost two straight going into tonight's action. You know, so this is a team that's, you know, been really, really good. So we'll see what happens, because right now you're playing a brand of baseball that has been successful for you to the point that you've done a better job in getting clutch hits than you have previously. All right, so that's what's been looking up for you. And really, you were a couple of misplays away from having the opportunity to sweep Kansas City. Just one of those things. I mean, Higashioka is a guy who is very solid as a catcher. He had a couple of throwing errors last night that you just don't expect. Just don't. And that led to runs. But nevertheless, you still bounce back today on getaway day, and you got that win. And that's what's important. That you're finding ways to get, because here's the other thing. We were jumping on the case of the Yankee fans and the Yankees when they were losing these games. So now we can't, we were jumping on, you can't even beat this team. You can't even beat, you can't beat that team? And when they beat them, what were you going to say? Yeah, well, they only beat that team. No, stop. Spike's in St. Pete. He's next on 98.7. What's up, Spike?
I feel for you, my friend, man. I'm watching, talking to Jake, I'm watching the Yankees, who are playing sloppy baseball and winning games. They're winning close games. They're patched together, you know, with bailing wire and tape. It's a testament to something on that team. They got guys playing out of position. And I watch the Mets, and I just can't figure out what's going wrong. It's just not right. I feel for you, man. I'm hoping they pull this one out. They got a couple extra innings, but you got to move the runners along. You got to. It's just, I don't know. I really don't know. I think that last series just took the starch out of them. But you know, they pull this one out hopefully, and then Stroman gives you some innings. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to figure out, because the Yankees are not playing good baseball. They made seven errors in the last two games.
Mm-hmm. They did.
And then
they're playing down to the competition,
Spike.
Yeah, the backup to the backup.
The backup catcher throws out the guy who hasn't steals. He hasn't been thrown out since April. Go, you can't make it up, man. Baseball's so much inventory.
It is.
So, hey, I just got a text from my buddy. Congratulations, they cut Frank. Oh man, the French prince has been dethroned.
From New York, huh?
He'll catch on somewhere.
He'll land somewhere.
Right, somewhere up there. Yeah, he'll get it. He's a good kid. No motor. No motor.
Yeah.
No offense. He's not Tony Allen, man. Tony Allen had a career, right?
That's a career, right.
Of not being able to score, but Tony Allen was a little better defender.
But his defense
was so
overwhelming. You didn't care.
Well, and also he would miss bunnies all the time. You know, we've seen that with Alfred Payton. I don't know with these defensive guys. It always gets back to basketball, me and you, but that's okay by me. I don't understand. These defensive guys, they miss bunnies. It just comes with the territory.
Well,
if they were scorers,
they'd be better players. They're great on one side of the ball, Spike, and that's what they do. That's it.
I know, but Larry Frank kept making his threes, you know. He'd get open, shoot the damn ball, you know.
Yep.
And he started making them. I mean, he didn't take a lot of them, but he was shooting 45%.
I know.
And I hope he catches on somewhere, because he really seems like an affable young man that came here alone, and he never had a chance with the fans. And yet some people gravitated to him,
sure,
you know.
There's some people that's going to be upset that he's gone, Spike. But here's the problem. The problem was that he was brought in as a guy who could run the triangle. And that was his downfall, because first of all, We don't know if he could run the triangle because nobody really wanted to run the triangle because nobody was running that triangle. Everybody was running the revised edition of the triangle, Spike. Nobody was running Phil Jackson's original triangle.
Boy, Phil Jackson took – thank God they got that management team out and he set us back 5 years. Really was. But that's a whole other story. I'll stay up and watch again tonight. Listen, let's pull for your Mets to win, pull this one out and win it. I'd really like to see them get back into it because look, what happened to get rid of Boone and Cashman? Is that over?
temporarily. Temporarily. Yeah, they got to stay. Yeah, well, they got to stay.
Yeah, we'll see. You be careful, Larry. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Spike, thanks for the phone call. 1-800-919-3776. It's interesting that you said that Spike mentioned that. But listen, they're winning. So you can't be upset at Boone and Cashman right now. Your team is doing what they're supposed to do. Are they hitting the ball out of the ballpark at record numbers? No, they're still not doing that. Are they playing to the best of their abilities where the offense is kicking on all cylinders? No, they are not. Are they pitching the way they are just shutting everybody down and mowing them down? No, they are not. Bullpen did a nice job today. Latter part of the bullpen. Green did a nice job. Britton was, man, this has got to be the best Britton has looked since before the injury. Right? So they're getting close. But, you know, in the words of Rick DiPietro, winning is the best deodorant. And that's what you got right now with this Yankee team. And you've got the team in front of them losing. So you're having that opportunity where you can put some wins together. And now at a thought where you thought that, and we had this discussion last night and a couple of people weighed in, you had that thought of, well, you know what? I want them to just flame out. So we just know that it's no good. Like, we just need to get rid of the whole idea and just change everything. But now you look and you're putting some wins together and you got a chance at the playoff spot. And I mean, we were talking about the second wild card. I mean, you know, you got a chance at the first wild card. Right? Got a shot. You do. So it's, you know, it's real interesting. And because of that, that's why you're not hearing the same fire Cashman, fire Boom. Doesn't mean, though, that you're still not happy with them. I'm sure you would rather some different players. You'd rather different situations. There's some folks that you still are not happy with. I know many of you are still unhappy to see Brett Gardner get as much playing time as he does. So I get it. But really, as a fan, as a Yankee fan, how could you be unhappy with the team as long as they're winning and as long as they're giving you the opportunity to think that, hey, if we can get to the postseason, anything can happen once we get there, anything.
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.
Hardesty in for Carlin at 1-800-919-3776. Also via Twitter at Hardesty ESPN at ESPNNY 98_7 FM. Man, this Washington team is just like... Mets have tied the game. A throwing error on a bunt back to the mound. This kid Thompson just had no sense of urgency, threw the ball way down. And then McCann looks like he wanted to bunt, so the bat breaks. He jammed them so badly that he was able to move the runner over the third anyway. He got thrown out at first, but he ended up with a swinging bunt. Boy. Listen, is this team due for some luck, some breaks? Absolutely. Absolutely. So game is tied, bottom of the eighth. Mets with a runner on third with one out. Can they get that runner in with a chance to win this game in the ninth inning? We'll keep an eye on it for you. Richard's in Manhattan. He's next on 98.7 ESPN.
Larry, Merrifield on Kansas City had 33 stolen bases in a row. Mm-hmm. In the history of baseball, maybe that's happened 10, 15 times, 33 in a row. Mm-hmm. Right? Maybe. Would you think,
yeah,
maybe?
Maybe.
Lou,
yeah,
Brock, I'm sure, did it. Ricky did it. I'm sure those guys.
Yeah,
Maury
Vince
Wills,
Coleman.
I'm sure all those guys. Willie Wilson, all those. Even Joe Morgan might have done. All right. But I'll tell you this. Even though they all did 33 in a row, not one of them, and I don't know for sure, maybe somebody can look it up one of these days, none of the, you cannot tell me that the guy who broke the streak on the 34th one was the third-string catcher on the team. I can't believe it, Larry. Where did the Yankees get these guys from? It's unbelievable. This guy Brantley threw out Merrifield. You got Tyler Wade bunting, getting doubles, getting hits, playing a good shortstop, playing third base. He's doing it all. He can play any position in the infield. Voit is chipping in now. Gardner's still hitting a little bit, getting in some clutch hits. The relief pitching, they're throwing in pitches left and right. I don't know where they're getting these guys. The names are just coming at me, and they're working. I'm telling you, Larry, I can't believe how the Yankees are doing it. Really. It's incredible. It's such fun watching him, listening to the games. You know, I feel like they're in every game. They're never really out of any of the games. And I'm just, you know, fastening my seatbelt and getting ready. I think they're going to have a tough game tomorrow going out to Iowa. But
yeah,
and White Sox, that's going to be
team.
A tough game.
It is.
They're
very
a good team.
Series.
Right. Yeah, I'm a little worried about that. But then they get back and then they have a day off and then they go back and play Chicago, I think, right?
Mm-hmm. Or, yes, that's right.
Yeah. So we'll be see. But I'm telling you, the Yankees, like I said before, Larry, it doesn't matter what they do from here. I mean, as long as they make the playoffs. But if they keep me engaged for the next six weeks, boy, I'll consider that a successful. Larry, about 4 weeks ago, Peter on with Don and Mike.
Peter
Michael,
Rosenberg.
Peter Rosenberg said, the Yankees are finished. There is no way they can come. And I agreed. I said, he's right. No matter how bad it sounds and, you know, how final it sounded, he was right. I did not think they can come back. That was 4 weeks ago. And what they've turned around now, wow, it's been great. Larry, always a
been.
Pleasure. Thank you.
Hi, Richard. Thanks for the phone call. You know, it's funny because I had been like the voice of reason for Gordon Damer. And I would tell him, no, it's a lot of baseball left. It's a lot of baseball left. It's a lot of baseball left. But they had got to the point that even I was like, you know what? I don't think and I told him, I don't think the division is in your wheelhouse, but I still think you have a shot at the postseason. It's just that this season is so long and you have so many twists and turns. And if you can just hang in there and find a way for your team to start to get hot and go through a stretch where they play well, or maybe it's they find a hole in the schedule, okay, and that gives them some confidence and they get some folks hot. And then they start to roll and start to get going. And then who knows, you go on a hot streak. And that's really what the Yankees have done. And so for me, once again, looking at, I mean, just think about this. Think about who you haven't had in your lineup. And what's funny is the guys that you haven't had in your lineup really weren't producing a lot consistently even before they left the lineup. I mean, like Sanchez. Urcella has been a guy that has really performed well as the Mets take the lead 8-7. He's been the guy that's been kind of consistent this year. Okay, Urcella's done a nice job. But, you know, Sanchez has been up and down. There's been a lot of guys who've been up and down. Gerrit Cole, for the most part, has been, you know, Gerrit Cole. But he's had a couple of outings where he wasn't himself. And so you look at what they've been able to do, and I just got to say, you got to give them some credit. They've been able to hang in there, taking advantage of the schedule, which is what a lot of teams do. And now they put themselves in the position where, you know, they're playing some pretty good baseball. And they're able to win. And even when they don't play good baseball, they're finding ways to win. And that's all it takes. Bruce is in Flushing. He's next on 98.7 ESPN.
Hey, Larry. How are you doing tonight?
Great. Bruce, what's up?
A few things on the Yankees. You know, watching the Yankees the last several weeks reminds me of a line from Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kids. Who are those guys?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a different team.
I mean, it's unbelievable. You come up with a kid who the Yankee brass has said, no, he's not ready, he's too wild. He comes in and pitched two great games, and I don't know about the second game. If he did walk somebody, it might have been just one. But in the first game, didn't walk anybody. Brian, didn't you know you had this guy down on the phone? You know, they're bringing this kid from Comac, who reminds me of Jabba Chamberlain. Mm-hmm. You know, he got hit yesterday a little bit, but I think he pitched a couple of days in a row. Mm-hmm. And he even warmed up. So they got him. It's amazing. But for all the people who want to praise Brian Cashman, let's remember a couple of things. One, he built this team, and he built it badly. And yeah, he made some good trades, some very good trades. But he put this team in that position. Secondly, for all those people who said, "Well, who did he give up?" Well, the guy they gave up for the relief pitcher from Pittsburgh, who's been very good, no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. But one of the guys is this kid named Park, who I've been following for the Yankee system for the last several years, and basically got into his own this year. He was hitting 360, and I read a report in the newspapers, I don't know if it was a Post or whatever, but said the analytic team didn't believe the 360 he was hitting. And lo and behold, he's in Pittsburgh. He's hitting about 360 in Pittsburgh, and he had a home run last night. So sometimes the system doesn't know what they have, and that was a key point that Gene Michael always used to say. Mm-hmm. But getting back to this kid, Heel, if the Yankees get all their starters back, Severino's going to be a starter, and if you have problems in the bullpen, do you put this kid in the back of the bullpen? I know you don't want to risk his arm, but if we're going for the playoffs, and if Chapman's not Chapman, and even though he had a good game today, the lefty pitcher from Baltimore has been inconsistent this whole second half. Mm-hmm. Do you put Heel in the back of the bullpen to make sure you can close out games, or at least put him in the eighth inning?
Bruce, if I'm Aaron Boone, I'm like, Heel cannot leave this. Heel is not allowed to leave this team. He's not allowed to leave the team. I'm keeping him up. I'm keeping him up even because I don't know what I'm getting from Kluber. I'm keeping him up. I don't know what Severino's giving me. I mean, I got to keep him up. He's performed well. Why would I worry about what he's going to do? He stays up. I'll find a place for him, Bruce. I'll find a place.
Well, would you trust him enough to put him in the back of the bullpen?
Don't know if I put him in a closed situation, but I got enough idea, and thanks for the phone call. I would give him a shot in the sixth, seventh inning, or eighth inning. I would. I don't know if I'd put him in the ninth inning yet. But I got to. If I could, if I'm in a situation where I can start an inning, seventh inning, I'd give him a shot. Absolutely, I'd give him a shot. What have I got to lose? He's confident. He's got good control. He doesn't feel like I remember Mel Stoudemire years ago when he was first with the Mets and then came back as a Yankee pitching coach. And when the media would meet with him, and it was usually about a struggling young starter, he would always say, I tell them to trust your stuff. Because if your stuff wasn't good, you wouldn't be here. And Hill trusts his stuff. There's a confidence with him. There's a calmness that you see with him. And listen, he's going to have a bad outing eventually. Nobody comes up here and doesn't get hit. All right, he will eventually have one of those games where you're like, oh, well, okay. And that'll be good because then he'll learn from that and he'll make whatever adjustments he needs to make. But for right now, what he's shown, there's no way you send him back down permanently. There's no way. I mean, for a number situation, you have to, you know, for roster, you send him back temporarily. But, I mean, come on. He's earned his spot on this roster. He has earned a spot. Right now. Listening to Carlin on 98.7 ESPN, Larry Hardesty for Chris at 1-800-919-3776. So this is the part of the program, and we'll get to the calls in a second, where you might hear the voice of Brian the Brain and Jake the Snake. It is because the Mets have a one-run lead, and my seatbelt is fastened tightly as Edwin Diaz comes into the game. And I'm feeling better because he just struck out Juan Soto. So I'm feeling a little better. But I'm just letting people know, if you hear silence, and then you hear Brian the Brain or Jake the Snake, it's nothing. Nothing's happened. I'm just pausing myself so I know what to say and what not to say and what will get me in trouble and what will not get me in trouble. Because believe me, it's not easy watching Edwin Diaz. Having said that, he has pits better than last year. But, you know, he's got two quick outs, so I'm good.
And on that one, Larry, he raised his hand.
And I wish he wouldn't do that.
I guess he's been hanging out with Hansel Robles a little too much. But he raised his hand that one like it was a casual fly ball. And guess what? It actually was. So I think he's improving.
The last time he raised his hand like that, the ball left with three other runners on base in Pittsburgh.
Yeah, the ball was like 10 rows into the outfield over the fence. But at least he raised his hand for it.
Clearly, he wasn't an outfielder by trade because he wouldn't have caught anything. He would have caught nothing because of that. 1-800-919-3776. Let's go back to the phones and let's chat with Kevin and Brick. Hey, Kevin, you're next on 98.7.
Hey, Larry, how's it going?
Good, Kevin. What's happening?
Not much. I'm just calling. I just want to get ahead of this before we get close to it actually happening.
Uh-huh.
I think the one-game wild card playoff is really just a disgrace to the players, to the game. I mean, you go a whole marathon season. Baseball is about series, matchups, pitching matchups. And to make it a one game after these guys battle all year, one game, it really is just a disservice. I hate it. I really hate it. I went to all three games at the stadium, and it's so stressful. It's just tough. I think it's horrible.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Kevin. Thanks for the phone call. Mets won the game. Hey, Diaz. Yeah. One of the few times I sang this song with it. This is a huge win for the Mets. Huge, huge win. I feel better already. 1-800-919-3776. Here from the Met fans who are just like stunned. Diaz comes in, they get to the same, right? Kevin, here's the other side of it, though. And I understand what you're saying about series. I'm from the old school. We used to have a best of three. But this is the thing. You understand going in that there is a one-game wild card. You don't like it, play better so you don't end up in it. You have control. You do. So, yeah, I get what you're saying. I get it. From the fan standpoint, it's unfair. From the player's standpoint, yeah, I guess it is when you end up that way. But you do have an option. Play better so you don't end up in that situation. Winner take all. It's a game seven. All right? And then if you let's say you're the Yankees, okay? And it's the play-in game. It's the wild card game. It's the game. You got to get Gerrit Cole in that game. What, are you going to hold him? Suppose you lose, you'll never have him. So you have to pitch him. Okay? You have to pitch him in that game. And then that messes you up for the next series. But once again, do your best to avoid that situation. That's all I can tell you. And maybe they'll change it with a lot of the other things that I'm hearing, you know, that could be changed. Like maybe the DH returns to the National League and no more seven-inning doubleheaders and no more runner at second in the 10th inning and beyond. You know, those would be nice changes too. Lee is in Long Island. He's next on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Lee.
What's up, man? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Lee. What's going on?
Yeah, I want to talk about Nick Summer League. I know it's kind of off topic. Everybody's talking about the Yankees.
Yeah, no, go ahead. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. So I was watching the two Summer League games. Obi Toppin looked really well. He's playing with a lot of confidence. And also Emmanuel Quickley, the first game wasn't too bad. The second game he showed maybe he can be a point guard, a combo guard, but he showed something to me. I don't think we'll have minutes for him at the point guard position. He'll probably be like a combo guard off the bench, but they're using him as a point guard. Obi Toppin, Do you think Thibodeau is going to give him some more minutes? Because it seems like the more he plays, the more confidence he gets. If you play him 10, 12 minutes, it doesn't give him any type of rhythm. And that new kid that we got, Sims, I believe, the 6'10 athletic freak that we got. Oh, man, that guy looks good. I just want to hear your thoughts on that. And if you watch the Summer League.
I have seen I've seen both Summer League games, Lee. Thanks for the phone call. I have. And I noticed similar things that you've noticed. Obi Toppin has gotten better. The thing for him, though, is he needs to be more efficient from that three. And I'm sure that's something he will continue to work at. I know he was very good at the three in college, but he's got to be a bit more efficient. If he continues to play, the other thing that I noticed about him, which I liked, was his defensive presence. Okay, that the fact that he overplayed some passing lanes and he got some steals and he was able to finish on the break and went to the basket strong. So that's good. Lee, he plays for Tom Thibodeau, which means his defense is what's going to keep him on the court. If his defense continues to improve and be the way we've seen it, and he's able to score while he's on the floor, he will get more playing time. That's as simple as that. As far as Emmanuel Quickley is concerned, I agree with your analysis. You were right on point. He looked better at the point guard spot in game two, but I think that's because he was more comfortable because he scored more points in game two than he did in game one. He is a combo guard, in my opinion. Now, I know he did the point at Kentucky, so I know that he can play the point, but I still feel he's more comfortable playing a combo position. And they're giving him, and he's playing the point in Summer League because they really want to get a look at him to see how he looks, how comfortable he is at running the team. From a leadership standpoint, I thought in the second game he was outstanding. He called the guys over. He had to make sure they had a conversation, make sure they knew what was going on. He put his arm around the young kid Sims, talked to him about some things that happened on the court. So from that standpoint, I thought he was excellent. Still needs to look up a little bit more and try to get some other people involved, but I thought he was better in game two. And Sims is going to pose an interesting scenario for the Knicks because he could be a more athletic Mitchell Robinson. Now, Mitchell Robinson is a shot blocker. Mitchell Robinson has a huge presence around the basket. Mitchell Robinson is excellent at the lob. Mitchell Robinson, though, kind of probably put a little question mark in some of the Knicks' brass's head with all the injuries he had last year. Now, it was only last year that he had them, so maybe you look at that and say, well, that's just one situation. They already re-signed Nerlens Noel for a three-year deal, all of it not guaranteed. So obviously he's back, and he deserved to be back. He played very well for them. But both of these guys, when you look at them, they've had issues with injuries, especially Noel in his career. It's kind of derailed his career a little bit because he's had a lot of injury issues. So I do think that Sims, who signed a two-way contract, so he can come up for, I believe, 45 or 50 games onto the NBA team, and he is also signed a two-way contract. He'll play a lot of his playing time is going to be in Westchester, which is good because he needs to play to get better. And so you'll be able to bring him up if somebody gets hurt or, you know, because you remember, Taj Gibson's also on the team. So you've got three folks already. So, you know, if he's able to give you anything and get even better, then you've got a surplus and you make him move either a Mitchell Robinson or a Nerlens Noel at the trade deadline if you need to get somebody else. So I've liked what I've seen with the Summer League for those guys. Hey, everybody, you know the 98.7 ESPN Beach Bash is back. It takes place Friday, August 20th at Bar A in Lake Cuomo. That day at Lake Cuomo, New Jersey, it becomes Bar K. Make your plans to head down to the Jersey Shore near Belmar to join the Michael K Show live from 2 to 6:30 with special musical guest, the Pat Roddy Band, and appearance by Willie Wilson. Be listening to the K Show all this week for your chance to score VIP access. So brought to you by our friends at Truly Hard Seltzer, Samwell Pain Management, The Good Life Transportation Company, Daz Breakers, Deep Eddy Vodka, Rutgers Football, Calandra's Bakery, and Yearling Flight. You must be at least 21 years of age to enter. Hard to see for Carlin. That deep breath is the Mets won the game. And that's nice. And once again, that's what they're supposed to do. This is a Washington team that's not very good right now. It's a Washington team that has sold a lot of their parts off. It's a Washington team that, had three errors today, and the Mets were able to take advantage of all of them. So this is a nice win for them. And if they can, take this next game tonight behind Marcus Stroman and find a way to do well in this series, either to take the series or sweep the series, I think you feel a little better with the Dodgers coming in for the weekend if you're able to do that. All right? And you take your chances and see where you are against this Dodgers team. That's been very good. It's been very good. I mean, Mookie Betts on the IL, and they just shut out the Phillies like 5-0. Boom. See ya. This is a very good team. So it's going to be interesting to see where you stack up, right, against them, followed by the Giants in Frisco. Then you visit the Dodgers in L.A., and then you come back home and you have the Giants here. So it's going to be interesting 10 games with those guys. Let's talk a little Yankee baseball, shall we? We begin with Aaron Boone. Aaron Boone, a lot of people concerned that he's the one that started it when he said he was very concerned about Gleyber Torres' thumb before he went on the IL. Let's see if he has any update on Gleyber.
It's one of those things that once he's doing a lot better. I've texted him both days. I haven't talked to him today, but yesterday he was pretty encouraged with how he was feeling. It's going to be one of those situations that they don't want him doing anything that until all that pain's out of there. So it's going to be that's going to be the determining factor about when he gets ramped up. They don't want him feeling anything because that could lead to a little bit more injury. So it's just going to be kind of a day to day, how he progresses, how the swelling is and how he's improving. But once he starts going, it needs to be a pain-free situation is what the doctors are saying.
So in other words, don't rush him back. And that's going to be the temptation because you really want him back in your everyday lineup. But once again, you rush him back and you could open up the door for a situation where he's out for a longer period of time. So listen, let it take its course. You're winning games right now. You're finding ways to win. There's no need to rush him back because when he comes back, you want to keep him in the lineup for the stretch run. There's been a lot of concern about Zach Britton this season. I mean, he's been a guy who has really been a mainstay since he's come over to this Yankee team from Baltimore. He's been a guy that you could say in a lot of cases, and sometimes you prefer him to Chapman as the closer because of the fact that he's a ground ball guy. And while Chapman is the swing and miss guy with 103-mile-an-hour fastball, if it's straight, it can be hit. If it's not moving. Britton sometimes, though, the slider's all over the place. And since he's been back from his injury, he's not really been effective. But today, did a nice job. No runs, no hits, no walks, no strikeouts, not zeros across, as they say on the scorecard. So, Aaron Boone, was it encouraging to see Britton pitch like that?
I thought he threw really well. Obviously, he hits the first guy with two strikes, but after that, his stuff really ticked up. He was up in the midnight. It looked like his sinker was really, really good today. And then he, puts three guys on the ground. Unfortunately, he had to do it a last time to get another double play. But, encouraging to see him throwing the ball like that. And hopefully it's, something he can continue to build on.
He had really good control today other than hitting the batter. So that's what you like to see from him. And, if he can continue to pitch like that, that's the Zach Britton that you need in the eighth inning. And when Chapman is struggling, then you're confident you can bring him in. And, of course, Chapman on the IL for his inflammation. So, you'd like to see Britton pitch like that. Another person that pitched well today was Chad Green. Three strikeouts in two innings, only gave up a hit. And even Aaron Boone had to admit he looked a little better today than he has in recent outings.
Yeah, I thought Greeny threw really well, was efficient. We were a little sloppy behind him where, a couple balls, extended him a little bit more. But, yeah, I thought he was really good.
He was. And so he's been weird, right? It seems like there's stretches when his fastball is just unhittable. And then there's other stretches where the ball just is flat. And he's been a guy that, you know, you, you he could be dominant. You know, he really can. So the Yankees need to get him going. And if they can get him going and lock him in to where he is the Chad Green, especially when you hit September going down the stretch, it would be very, very helpful for them. You know, once again, it's the Yankees stealing bases. It was Tyler Wade who had a couple of stolen bases today. So, you know, once again, we have this conversation about speed on the Yankees, right? And what speed does. And so Aaron Boone was asked about having speed on the bases and how that's helped the Yankees.
Yeah, it's definitely a different dynamic. And when you have a few guys, you know, it's obviously a different element that at different times we haven't had. So, you know, when those guys are in there and those guys that are capable of that, you know, we try to take advantage, and Wader's done a really good job of that.
As a matter of fact, speaking of Tyler Wade, he's done a little better at the plate of late. Here's a guy who, you know, a lot of Yankee fans have been kind of disappointed with. We know that he's been a guy that's versatile. He can play a bunch of different positions. He's very good defensively. Today he had two hits in three at bats, had a strikeout, but he also had a walk, and he scored a run. So what is going on with Tyler Wade at the plate lately?
I think his work and the fact that he's stayed ready for any and every opportunity, but his work's been really good, whether it's on the defensive side, making sure he's getting reps as much as he can at different spots. You know, obviously the hitting part of things, you know, being engaged in the game and being ready for different situations, you know, whatever running situations might come up. He's just been ready. And it's really good to see him come and get an opportunity and play really well and help us win ball games.
All right, so let's hear from Tyler Wade now. And Tyler, Aaron Boone says it's your hard work that's helped you at the plate. What say you?
Yeah, it feels good. I've always said, like, I do the best I can to prepare myself. And sometimes you hit the ball hard, it goes right at people, and you don't see the results. But right now they're finding holes, and we're just going to continue this feeling that I got right now and keep trying to help us win games.
Is it tough to maintain confidence when those aren't falling?
Yes and no, but I have the utmost confidence in myself, regardless of what I'm hitting or if I'm not playing every day. But it feels good when you start to see those falls, for sure.
Plus, he made a great diving play in left field today that saved a run, because the runner on second, he certainly would have scored. So, once again, and Boone talked about his defense as well, and he's not, you know, he doesn't play left field a lot. He's more of an infield guy. But he's done a nice job out there. He did a nice job out there today. And see, these are the things that you're talking about, is the fact that, hey, guess what? They were able to find a way to win a game. And, you know, they didn't play that great. They had three errors today. But nevertheless, they persevered and found a way to win. And so they move on now and get ready for Chicago. And it's one. It's like, you know, it's like crossing off your list, okay? Royals game. We got that. Cross off the list. Next. And so next they get ready for Chicago. And then they try to go in there and win another series at least. That's their goal right now.
Don't call it a comeback. I've been here for years. I'm rocking my pants. Put something for fear. Making the tears rain down like a mine.
Harnessy for Carlin on 98.7 ESPN. 1-800-919-3776. Top of the hour. We'll be joined by Om Yamasuk, ESPN.com. We'll talk a little bit of NBA, a little bit of Lakers. And all this conversation about Melo joining LeBron, the new big three, how's that going to work, Westbrook, and all that other stuff. And, of course, Kemba Walker signed his contract with the Knicks today. So the Knicks have a point guard, finally. Yeah, that's a good thing. Time now for the Truly Hard Play of the Game, brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. And because the Mets win the game, it's got to be the RBI that led to the win. Right, Brian?
And Drury bloops one. Base hit, and the Mets take the lead. He just got enough of it to get it over Garcia and into the outfield. Brandon Drury comes in and gets the go-ahead hit. And the Mets are in front for the first time in a week. It's 8-7 New York.
Gary Cohen with the call on SNY. You heard that. First time in a week, the lead. First time in a week. Wow. That's the Truly Hard play of the game. Brought to you by Truly Hard Seltzer. Try Truly Hard Seltzer. 100 calories, 1 gram of sugar, 5% alcohol, and 27 different flavors. Truly Hard Seltzer Beverage Company. Please drink responsibly. Brian, Jake, you can be honest. I'm in a pretty good mood right now, aren't I?
Oh, you definitely are.
For the first time in a week, did something happen?
Yeah. Mets won the game. Diaz saved the game. And 1-2-3 inning for Diaz. No worries. That's weird. I can't tell you the last time I've had that. I can't tell you the last time I remember that happening. I'm sure it's happened. I mean, he's been better than previous years, you know? So, yeah, feeling better about this team with a win. Now, once again, as I share with Yankee fans, the same thing for me applies. Let's see if now they can turn around what they've been. Let's see if they can find a way. Listen, don't be satisfied with this. Don't exhale. You need the second game tonight. This is a Nationals team that's 13 games under 500. You need to put them away. Put them away. Let's get rid of them today and tomorrow, and let's go. And then you start your Dodgers weekend. But that's what I'm looking for from this Met team. Is to show that they can, you know what, get the job done here. You know, I mean, since, as Pete Alonso told me, they're dedicated. They're not worried. They know what it is. You know, trying to tell me to relax. Nothing to worry about. Right. Danny's in Jersey. He's next on 98.7 ESPN. Hey, Danny.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for taking my call.
You got it, Danny. I'm feeling a little better right now, my friend, but we'll see.
No, see, that's what I'm saying. It's like, and I honestly used to be like this, and then I actually realized. I would call out other Met fans and be like, you're so pessimistic. And now I actually realize why they're so frustrated. Because there's legit Met fans with today's win who think, like, this started something, or that they're not terrible, or that, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I
and
know.
And what they fail to realize is the Nationals were giving two relievers a chance just to see what they had. The Nationals didn't even put in their traditional guys to close the game. You know what I mean? And it's like, and it's, I don't know, and what's frustrating to me is, like, you can lose a game fine, but when you need these really, really big important games, to give up a three-run homer before you get an out, to load the bases and not score, it's like, it just seems like, I don't want to say that they don't care, because that they probably do care, but I think someone has to be held accountable. And at the top of my mind, it comes to, like, guys like McCann, Conforto. Like, I mean, Nito has better at-bats. Mm-hmm. He has better at-bats. You know what I mean?
Yeah, he does. He does. And I love to see him in the lineup, Danny. And thanks for the phone call. I hear what you're saying. He does, but I don't. When you pay what you paid for McCann as your number one catcher, he's the guy that you want to go to. He's the guy. And he's a solid defender. So you can't kill them. But yeah, Nito has been a guy that's had a better stick. There's no question. Conforto today got a hit. He's now over 200, got a hit, a couple of RBI. He's now batting 202. I mean, he's been in the one so long, it was amazing. And once again, let's give him some credit. You know, we were wondering, we wished they had gotten a different pitcher, a bigger name pitcher, but Rich Hill did his job. He did what he was supposed to do. Did what he was supposed to do. Went out there and kept it close. Gave up some runs early, but the Mets fought back. And really, you know, he gave up three runs. So, but he was in there. He kept them close. And they were able to find a way to get back into it. And once again, which has been crazy, because for the most part, they've been up and down today. The bullpen was strong. Familia a hit, no runs on his record. Castro, a hit, no runs on his record. You know, Drew Smith has pitched well for the Mets. One strikeout. Trevor May, a strikeout, who's been up and down, but up lately. And Edwin Diaz had a strikeout. So the bullpen did their job. Rich Hill did his job. Three runs and four hits in three innings. Four strikeouts. That's what he is. He's not a overwhelming power pitcher. He is a guy that is, you know, the consummate identity of a soft tossing lefty. That's what he is. That's what he is. But at the time when you had, as I mentioned, all these to be announced, you needed somebody who had some major league experience and who happened to be a left-hander, which is great, who can go out there and give you solid effort. And when your starters come back, you can put them in the bullpen. He can give you some long relief out of the pen if you have one of those issues. So he's a good acquisition. It's a good acquisition. He's been okay. Hasn't hurt you. Hasn't been terrible. His ERA has not been 10 or 11. He's done a nice job. And hopefully he will continue to do that. But once again, for me, it's about, and you know, Danny makes a great point. Do you feel, because this is a team that has underperformed offensively? Yes, no question. But it's a team that still found ways to win. And it's a team that, with all the injuries and you've seen how they performed previously, you were kind of surprised that they were playing the way they played, right? To the point that even their acting GM, Zach Scott, said it was unacceptable. So that was the part that was so confusing and so disappointing, because this has been a team that has struggled in other areas, but they have bounced back and they found ways to win games. And they've had injuries before. They had COVID issues before. They've had some problems. They still can't seem to find a way to keep a shortstop. They had like, what, 5, 6 that have played this year because of injury? So, but all through that, they were able to keep their lead in the National League East. And once again, it's not... I'm not taking anything away from Philly or Atlanta. They are playing better. They made some deadline deals. Philly with Ian Kennedy to try to bolster the bullpen, which has been a horror show for the past couple years. And to really show you that they didn't really have any talent, Joe Girardi, one of the things you know about him, and Yankee fans, you know, he can find guys. He knows how to build a bullpen. Like his predecessor. Come on, Brian, Jake. Repeat after me. Scott Proctor.
Tanya Sturt.
Tom Gordon. Oh, just so many guys that can't even lift their arm today because he used them every single day out of the bullpen. Every day. Lead or no lead. Come on in. So Girardi knows how to build a bullpen. He does. He's done it. And for him not to be able to build a consistent bullpen in Philly, meant it wasn't a whole lot of folks down there. So with Ian Kennedy, listen, they get a guy that can really help their bullpen. And that's important. Remember Ian Kennedy with the Yankees? He was a confident kid when he came up here. Oh, he was. I know I can do this. I know I can do that. Good starter. But he just, you know, just didn't make it. But he's stuck with it. Now he's a bullpen guy and, you know, give Philly credit for making that move. Atlanta made some moves with the bats. So they realized that, you know, while they weren't playing well, they were still hanging around. The Mets had not put them away. So they became, you know, not sellers at the deadline, but they were active in trying to improve their team. And so really when you think about it, it's the combination of the Mets coming back to them, okay, and the fact that they started playing better. And so that's what you're looking at. Not good news. The tarp is going on the field, so it must be some rain in the area or rain about to hit City Field or slight rain. So the start of the second game is going to be delayed a little bit. So we'll see what happens with that. But, you know, that's the scenario you have. So it is as much the Mets coming back to the pack as it is for the play, the teams like Philly and Atlanta that got hot. So that's the concern you have as a Mets fan. Okay, so you have to keep winning. And so it's really not, even though we're scoreboard watching, ultimately what it's about the Mets playing better. Okay, the Mets have to play better. It's really, they are in their own. They control their own destiny here. If they can turn things around and go on a hot streak, not necessarily, listen, I would love it against the Dodgers and Giants, but I'm going to be realistic. It's going to be tough. But if they could at least show signs of fight and play hard and be in the mix and try to get some runs, you know, we'll see what happens. You play it by ear, you never know. But it just seemed like in that Philly series, they were just like stunned. But fortunately, that's behind them. So now we'll see how they build on this win today. And that's what makes baseball so interesting, right? It's not like the other sports because really, the momentum is your starting pitcher, as Joe Torre used to always say to the reporters that covered the Yankees. Your momentum is your next day starter. So if you can put, you know, you win this game today, like you got Stroman who's pitched well for you. If you score some runs, he can beat this team. Now you're looking at, we're not talking about what happened in Philly. We're looking at, hey, this is a Met team that's now bounced back. They've won two in a row against Washington, and they go for the sweep before they start a tough stretch with LA and San Francisco. It just changes the narrative. It makes you feel a little better. At least you got a shot to see that something may change, right?
You're listening to Chris Carlin on 98.7 ESPN.